This episode is brought to you by Charles Schwab. Decisions made in Washington can affect your portfolio every day. Washington Wise from Charles Schwab is an original podcast that unpacks the stories making news there. Listen at schwab.com/WashingtonWise.
Georgia emerges as a key toss-up state after Democrats win a close Senate runoff.
It's a state where the cities are growing and the suburbs are growing. And in politics nationally, metropolitan areas are becoming more and more blue. And that's what's giving the state its purple color.
And how markets are responding to China easing its COVID-19 restrictions. Plus, how to approach your boss about a raise if your colleagues make more than you. It's Wednesday, December 7th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Chinese stocks closed lower today after the government said it would remove most of its COVID-19 testing and quarantine requirements. The policy shift came earlier than many investors had expected. Wall Street Journal Europe finance editor Alex Frangos says markets are wary.
If China reopens and the economy there really gets going, that's going to put increased demand for oil and make oil prices go up, which could make inflation worse, and inflation's a big problem. On the flip side, China's a big producer of all sorts of goods that we consume every day, and things could get a little bit smoother in terms of producing those things. You know, obviously, there have been a lot of shortages over the last couple of years, and some of that has been about lockdowns in China and inability to get goods to ports. So there's positives and negatives from unlocking. Obviously, over the long term, it's good, but over the short term, it could just be really messy.
Here in the U.S., stocks wavered ahead of next week's meeting of the Federal Reserve. The Dow ultimately ended the day up about 1.5%. The Nasdaq and the S&P 500 closed with losses. Strong economic data out this week is raising concerns that the Fed will keep boosting interest rates to cool down inflation. More states are clamping down on TikTok, the short video app owned by Beijing-based ByteDance. In South Dakota, the governor has banned state agencies from using the app over national security concerns. South Carolina, Arkansas, and Maryland are taking similar steps to restrict government use of the app. Meanwhile, we report exclusively that a potential national security deal between the Biden administration and TikTok is facing more delays over a range of concerns, according to people familiar with the matter. TikTok says it is looking forward to a timely conclusion to its agreement with the U.S. You can hear more on that story on tomorrow's episode of our Tech News Briefing podcast. German authorities have detained 25 people, most of whom are suspected of planning to overthrow the government. Officials said dismantling the QAnon-inspired terrorist cell was one of the largest operations of its kind in recent history. More than 3,000 police officers, including special forces, conducted raids at 150 properties across Germany, Italy, and Austria. And in Peru, a fast-moving constitutional crisis. This afternoon, the Congress there voted overwhelmingly to remove President Pedro Castillo. Lawmakers declared him morally unfit for office. Local media reported that Castillo had been detained by police, but the journal couldn't independently verify the reports at the time of this recording. The vote came shortly after the president announced he would dissolve the country's legislature. That came just ahead of the impeachment vote that was already scheduled for later in the day, the third such motion in his 17 months in office. Coming up, what Georgia's Senate runoff can tell us about the power of swing states as we look ahead to 2024. That's after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
After one of the most expensive congressional races in history, Democrats have secured a 51st seat in the U.S. Senate. As we reported in this morning's show, incumbent Democrat Raphael Warnock successfully fended off a challenge from Republican Herschel Walker, who was backed by former President Donald Trump. The closely watched runoff election shows how the state's demographics are changing and cements Georgia as a key toss-up state heading into the 2024 presidential election. Although Warnock's win gives Democrats an outright majority in the Senate, Republicans swept every other statewide office in Georgia in November. So how are both parties viewing the state now, and what can Georgia tell us about 2024? Aaron Zittner covers polls and politics for The Wall Street Journal, and he joins me now with more. Hi, Aaron. Thanks for being here.
Good to be with you.
Aaron, tell me about Georgia's history and the case for calling it a swing state.
Well, Georgia has been a traditionally Republican state for the last few decades. But since 2020, there's been some change. In 2020, President Biden won the state. The next January, both of the Senate seats went to the Democratic Party. And here, in yesterday's special runoff election, the Democrats won again. That's four top-tier statewide races since 2020 that Democrats have won. And so there's no doubt that this is a state that Democrats can win in certain circumstances, and it has to be classified as a swing state. It was Republican in the last presidential election. It swung to the Democratic Party. That's the definition of a swing state, and it means that it's definitely going to be in play in 2024 as one of the most competitive states in the next presidential election.
So, Aaron, what's behind Georgia's changing status to more of a purple state up for grabs, as you say, by either party? It's surrounded by red states in the South. What's different about Georgia?
Well, in the last elections that Democrats have won, Donald Trump was a factor. I mean, he was the candidate in 2020, and he endorsed all the Senate candidates that went on to lose in 2021 and this year. But there's another factor that is probably more forceful, and that is demographic change. This is a state that's becoming far more diverse. If it isn't already, it's about to be a majority-minority state. The last census numbers had it as 51% white, non-Hispanic. So it's a diverse state. It's a state where the cities are growing and the suburbs are growing. And in politics nationally, metropolitan areas are becoming more and more blue. And that's what's giving the state its purple color. The diverse urban and suburban areas of the state are growing and overtaking the pull of the rural areas, which are still very Republican.
Let's talk more about the influence of former President Donald Trump. He, as you said, backed Walker in this runoff election. On the other hand, he also called for the ouster of GOP Governor Brian Kemp, who won re-election. What does that tell us about his influence here in Georgia and potentially on the national stage?
Well, Brian Kemp is going to be looked to by many Republicans as the model of how to run as a conservative official in a swing state. Governor Kemp signed a bill that bans most abortions at about 6 weeks. He signed a bill that allows people to carry concealed handguns without a license. These were conservative positions, and yet he won by 7.5 percentage points this year against Stacey Abrams, one of the best known Democrats nationally. And that was a far bigger win than 4 years ago when he beat Stacey Abrams by about 1.5 points. So he's gotten more popular while governing as a conservative. And he's done this also while keeping distance from Donald Trump. You may remember that he earned the wrath of Donald Trump by refusing to participate in Mr. Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election results. And Donald Trump put up a candidate to run against Brian Kemp. But Kemp easily beat the endorsed challenger who Trump put out there, and he went on to win by a big margin. So by keeping an arm's length distance from the president, without really picking a fight with him or denouncing him, and by sticking to conservative principles, he did very well in this purple to red state.
Aaron, you started to talk about this already, but where does all of this position Georgia as we're already looking to 2024?
The states that really decide the presidential election, the states that are most up for grabs, are changing, and we're seeing that change here in the 2020 midterms. Ohio, Florida, Iowa, these used to be considered swing states, and it's hard to look at them as swing states now. Republicans did very well in those three states. In all three, the Republican candidates for governor had big victories, and Donald Trump won both states both in 2016 and 2020. So those three are receding as swing states. But other states are coming onto the map, Georgia and Arizona among them. Those are two states that are very diverse and where the force of diversity is giving Democrats a stronger hand. Joe Biden won both of them by very small margins in 2020. And this year, we saw Democrats do quite well in many races in both of those states. Here, Raphael Warnock has just won a Senate seat in Georgia. And in Arizona, Democrats won the Senate seat there. Mark Kelly was reelected. They won the governor's office and many other statewide offices. So these two states are coming onto the board as swing states. And again, it's partly the force of diversity that is bringing them out of the status of being Republican strongholds and making them more purple.
I've been speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Aaron Zintner, who covers polls and politics for The Wall Street Journal. Aaron, thank you as always.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, talking about your salary among friends and colleagues and even followers on TikTok is becoming less of a taboo. New pay transparency laws in places like New York and Colorado that require employers to list salary ranges on job postings are giving people more information about compensation. More information is thought to help job seekers, but it could lead to some difficult conversations. Like, what if you find out a coworker makes more than you? Our Work and Life columnist Rachel Feinzig has some tips on what you should consider before starting this awkward conversation with your boss.
You really want to tread very lightly on having that exact discussion. And so you probably only want to do that if the pay differential is substantial. I had one comp expert tell me, like, it really should be 15% or more if you're going to just go in straight and have that conversation. And then the other thing would be if it's multiple members of your team are, like, seriously out-earning you. So something like, you know, you're on a team of six, you're the top performer, you know, all five other people make 20% more than you. That would be a pretty compelling argument, he told me.
You can hear more from Rachel about why someone in the same position might be making more than you on our Your Money Briefing podcast. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.